NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase from the Locked On Sabres podcast, joined by Mike DiStefano of the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm here at my WGR studios in Buffalo, not my typical backdrop. This is where I hung out yesterday to watch your Colts destroy my Bills.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one, wasn't it? Didn't you enjoy that game? I know I was enjoying that game.
I'm enjoying more fighting with all the Bills fans. You think the sky is falling after that game. but, yeah, no, the game itself was not fun. I almost went to it, and it was raining. So
I would have 100% been there if the border restrictions were to have allowed it. Now, they are easing it, I believe, next week, actually. They're easing it. So the next home game, I believe Canadians will be able to attend freely and not have to worry about testing. But last, the game on Sunday, unable to go. But I certainly will try to get to one before the year's over.
That's the biggest thing, right? Coming over the border. It's just the cost of the test.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because I think it's like $150 to buy a test over there and get that done. So it's whatever you're paying for your ticket, plus $150 to get that positive test, or to get the negative test rather. But so I think that's the biggest issue. But I think next week they're kind of scrapping it if you're just doing a trip within 72 hours.
Right. So that's good. I know the Sabres are hoping to get more people in the building with that.
Yeah.
That ease. But things just kind of ramped up over here. We got a mask mandate back in place because of the rise in cases. The vaccine requirement in the Sabres arena allows, so there's no mask there. It was like the one exception, but anyways, a lot of stuff that we'll get to on today's podcast, some news that's going on injury wise. The Senators are back on the ice after missing three games due to a COVID shutdown. The Devils have new third jerseys that we have to touch on. I think we might have a similar opinion given your facial reaction right now. And McDavid, he's going for 18-game point streak tonight on Tuesday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll go through our upcoming Locked On NHL power rankings that will come out on Wednesday, who we think is going to move up and who's going to move down. Let's start, though, with a little bit of news. Brock Nelson of the New York Islanders is going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. He's been placed on IR. They've lost six in a row as well. I mean, I mentioned sky is falling maybe for the Buffalo Bills in the NFL. It kind of feels that way for the Islanders right now in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're bottom of the barrel in the Metro, just 12 points. They're 5-8-2, losers of six in a row, and they've lost two of their the first two games that they have played in their new building, one of which coming to the Toronto Maple Leafs, I may add, the first team to get a shutout inside that building. Maybe they got shut out. But anyways, Zdeno Chara, though, today becoming the seventh Islander to be placed into COVID protocol. So it's a combination of things with the Islanders right now. A, they're coming off of a really, really long road trip, 13 games to start the year, where they really ran out of gas, just kind of took a chunk out of them at the end. And then they've also ran into the COVID issue as well. Now with seven players on the protocol list, they're missing a vast majority of their blue line. Now Brock Nelson's going to be out for a little bit. Things not looking good for the Islanders.
Yeah, that loss to Calgary, they got blown out. I saw the Panthers lost the other night. That was last week where they lost 6-1. I mean, they're losing games by multiple goals. They're not even really close. The last one goal game actually that they played was October 30th against the Predators.
Wow.
I mean, that's almost a month where they not only haven't won, where they haven't even lost by only one goal. I think they'll get back on track at some point this season, but how tight the Metro is, and they like kind of how you were leading into here, if you misstep early on, you might not be able to make up that ground.
Yeah, that's another thing too. They're in probably the toughest division in hockey. Like every single one of those teams are looks like they can compete for a playoff spot. Even the team that I wasn't really expecting to do much of anything in the Columbus Blue Jackets have been rather competitive. You know, Elvis Merzlikins doing his thing, and, you know, a couple of their players are stepping up big for him. And, yeah, if they fall into too much of a hole early on, I mean, it's coming up to that point where we always say around American Thanksgiving is when things start to settle in and you could start to kind of see where things are going to go for the year. It's not going very well for the New York Islanders, but, like, take a look at the names that are currently on the COVID list. So you got Josh Bailey, Anders Lee, Kiefer Bellows, Ross Johnston, Adam Pellick, Andy Green, and now they're also adding Zdeno Chara to the list as well. I know that Ryan Pulock was also not available for the game against the Maple Leafs the other night. You know, they got a couple injuries as well. We already talked about the Nelson one. So it's just a lot of bad that's hitting the Islanders right now all at once.
Yeah. Before we get into the Devils and their jerseys, in which we will do that as we kind of stick in the Metro before we get to other stuff, I want to remind you this podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. It's Thanksgiving. We all know what that means. Football, and nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we are stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving to Canadians? What is U.S. Thanksgiving to Canadians? Anything?
It's Thursday.
Thursday. There's football it's a on a Thursday.
It's a Thursday full of football, and there's a lot of real solid deals to be had in the stores. You can get your Christmas shopping done. But man, I've always said this, and I think every Canadian will tell you this, that the Americans do Thanksgiving way better than Canadians. Like, it's a full four-day event, and, you know, you get the full 2 days off, the Thursday, then the Friday, and then you got a couple of days to recover, and it's just a fantastic holiday. I've got some American family. I've done the American Thanksgiving a couple of times. Obviously, won't be able to travel over there to do it this year, but, you know, happy Thanksgiving to you and to all the American listeners out there, because, you know, I'm sure it'll be a fun time. What's your Thanksgiving Day tradition for you and your family?
Usually it is, so with me and a bunch of buddies, we get together early in the morning and we have a kind of a turkey bowl pickup football game.
Hang on. Before we get before you even get to Thanksgiving Day,
sure.
Tomorrow night, are the buddies hitting the bar?
I should have started there. Yeah, that is like the best night to go out of the year.
Absolutely, that's the best night.
It's the best night to go out of the year.
Oh,
because everybody's back. Yeah. Everybody's in town. Like, I've got a friend that just is actually getting in about an hour that I'm excited to see. One of my best buddies who hasn't been in for about a year, and he comes in for Thanksgiving. So yeah, Wednesday night is just you go out on the town and you're seeing people that you haven't seen in years because everyone's come home for family. Oh, yeah. So you're right.
It's a reunion. It's a reunion every year.
It's a reunion. Right. So thank you for backtracking to that, because that's the beginning and it's super fun. So I guess if you haven't gone too hard on Wednesday night, Thursday morning is football with your friends at the, so for me, it's at my old high school turf, but wherever guys play, then I usually have like almost like a Thanksgiving lunch, because you have multiple families, like your mom's side, your dad's side, you kind of got to split it up. So, all right, we have one Thanksgiving dinner at like noon or 1 o'clock more so. And then you've got another Thanksgiving dinner at like 5 o'clock. So by 7, 8, like you're out. You're zonked out. Maybe you take a couple hour nap and you go out for Black Friday shopping. I think that's kind of what you're saying, is like Canadians is kind of a Black Friday for 3 days.
Yeah, essentially. But then this year throws a little wrinkle to it for you, because you got the Bills game for Thursday night.
I was going to say, this year for me specifically, all that's thrown out the window. I'm going to end up playing football. I'm going out Wednesday night, and I will do one meal at 1 o'clock. So I'm still getting some of that awesome food in, but I've got to be in for Bills coverage at about 6. And then I'm here until like midnight, just hanging out, watching the game. And then I'm working Friday too, because it's game day after the game and we're doing shows. So, right, I'm like one of the few people in America that has to work not only Friday but also Thursday.
So. Yeah. Is there any? I'm not is there even any hockey on Thursday? Let me quick. I'm sure there is, but
no, I don't think so.
Smart, they wouldn't play. I'm just checking it now.
There's Friday games.
No hockey games on Thursday. Smart, smart, smart. Yeah. No hockey games on Thursday. They say, you know what? We're surrendering this day to football. And that is exactly what Thanksgiving is all about.
Now, I saw ESPN promoting like Thanksgiving hockey, but it was for Friday afternoon. So Friday afternoon, you've got St. Louis, Chicago at 1, the Eastern times. You've got Carolina, Philadelphia, and the Rangers and Bruins at 3:30. Actually, there's a third game, Jets and Wild. And then you've got Senators, Ducks at 4, Panthers, Capitals at 5, Devils, Predators at 6. You literally have a very splintered schedule. So you'll have a game to watch basically all day on Friday.
Oh, that looks glorious.
Yeah.
That's going to be so much fun, just tracking those games. It'll almost be like back in the bubble. Remember in the bubble where they started playing games at like noon?
Yes.
It was awesome. You just literally had hockey from like all afternoon. It was fantastic. So looks like Friday we'll get a little bit of treat where we get to watch a bunch of hockey Friday all day long. It's going to be pretty fun. And hey, you make a couple of bucks over at betonline.ag too. Lots of opportunities with lots of games.
This was all a Bet Online promo, by the way, the last 5 minutes here. I think that's the best promo they've ever received. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
What are the New Jersey Devils doing?
Dude,
what are they doing?
This looks like a jersey that I like very lazily, sloppily put together in like NHL 14 when I just wanted to play GM mode. And they're like, oh, got to go through the creation zone, create a jersey. And this is just the most bare bones thing that I could possibly create in 10 seconds. So I could just get to my GM mode and start trading away all my players. That is basically what that jersey looked like to me. It's so Mickey Mouse. And apparently Marty Brodeur like is the one who designed it. And for some reason, that's supposed to make me feel like I should no longer rag on it, or that's how Devils fans, what they're trying to say is, hey, Brodeur made this. Like, this is Brodeur's inspiration. It's like, okay, well, he's clearly not an artist. Like, that's for damn sure. Great goaltender, possibly the best to ever do it. Let's leave the art stuff up to the professionals, because clearly Brodeur is not that.
And we really think Marty Brodeur was like sitting back in his office with a stencil and paper and was like doing mock-ups of this jersey. What probably happened? He probably had a couple of graphic designer people from the Devils that put 5 different jersey concepts in front of him and said, you pick which one.
No, are you kidding me? That totally looks like that's exactly what he did, was sit back with a notepad and just kind of doodled the word jersey across the chest and said, hey, that works. And then he shaded it in in black and white because he just had a pencil. He was like, this is exactly what I want. Black, white, that's what I want. That's what we want. And just have it say jersey across the chest. And away we go. We're going to go and we're going to win hockey games. And it's just, I don't, why? They look so dumb. They might be the worst jerseys I have legitimately ever seen in an NHL game.
Did you see the thing about the stripes and how they almost like miscounted? So in the explanation for like, there was 21 stripes is what they said. And the reason was because there's 21 counties in New Jersey. And then there's 5 stripes on the shoulders, which are representative of the 5 players that have had their jersey numbers retired for the Devils. But there's 26 stripes. So, like, the only way you get to 21 is if you just pretend that the 5 stripes for the player retirees are not stripes, but they are. So, them saying the sum of 21 stripes represents the 21 counties, there are 26 stripes on this jersey. So, it's not even accurate.
I did not hear about that subtlety or that wrinkle into it, but... Yeah, I don't quite understand. I mean, I guess 21 plus the 5 equals 26 stripes is what it is. But it's just the look of it is dumb. It's just straight up dumb. It looks like a D-plus art project.
Mm-hmm. What was the other thing I was going to do? Did you see the Devils at least like kind of acknowledging people didn't like them on Twitter?
No, did they?
they sent out a tweet of a black hat with stripes on it, and it said hat in the same font.
Yeah, because I also saw people were posting memes. It was the jersey, and then they were posting a picture of, like, hockey pants, and it said pants along the side of it. And then, yeah, same thing. It said hat, and then it was hat along the front brim of the hat. And, yeah, people are just kind of poking fun at it. And, I mean, if you're the Devils, really, what else can you do? You know what I mean? Like, realistically, you just try and, you know, you're not going to hit a home run every time, I suppose. I mean, there have been some bad jerseys out there. I mean, if you remember the Dallas Stars neon ones? Actually, I think they're, like, their current alternates.
I think they're their current alternates.
Yeah, those are also brutal jerseys.
I actually liked those when they came out, but then I saw them on the ice, and I'm like, okay, maybe I just liked the concept. I didn't need to actually see them wear them. Because once they started skating around, I'm like, I can't watch this.
You know who else has a brutal third jersey? The Vancouver Canucks. So what makes it brutal? So it's the one, it's you know, blue and green, and then it's got the rink with the stick in it, right? So it's got that logo. But the problem that I have with it is the green striping that they have along the arm and along the body. There's no piping on it, so it just bleeds from, like, blue to green back to green. It looks like something from Sport Check or Canadian Tire, like something you would pick up at Dick's Sporting Goods and wear it to your beer league game. And these are NHL jerseys. I think it's so, so dumb.
Yeah, it does look weird. I don't think I've ever noticed these before. But you're right. Why is there no, like, white piping anywhere or something?
It's legitimately something that you pick up at Dick's Sporting Goods, and you go and you wear at your local rink. That's your 9 p.m. beer hour jersey. That's what that is.
It looks like the Walmart knockoff of the jersey. It's like $30. That's, like, clearly not the real jersey. That's what it
exactly
looks like.
Canadian Tire. Which I don't, they don't have those in
no, is that what that is?
In the States, but, like, yeah, that is legitimately the stuff that you see at Canadian Tire.
I literally thought when you said Canadian Tire that that was, like, a tire store. This is how out of touch I am with, like, Canadian commerce.
I don't even know how to explain Canadian Tire to an American. Yeah, like, they have legitimately everything there, including an automotive place, which is, I think, what it started out as, but it's also... Okay. Yeah, you could buy everything. I don't know. It's kind of a jack of all trades.
Is it like a Walmart with automotive stuff?
Kind of, but it doesn't have, like, as many things. Like, it's not a grocer. They don't have, you know, as many items, but it's somewhat similar to some of the stuff that they stock. Like, they don't have a full electronics department, but, like, you could buy a 42-inch TV there. They don't have a full-on toy department, but you could buy some, you know, water guns or like, blow-up pools or whatever. Like, there's some random things that you can get there. It's just not extravagant, but it's I really don't know how to actually compare it to any store that I've been in the United States, to be quite honest with you.
All right,
it's
that's fine.
It's kind of a thing, but they do have the thing called, like, hockey. They're really big into, like, community sports and community hockey specifically. Yeah, you do, like, raise money. I think so. Jumpstart actually is what it's called. And they'll help kids who can't afford, in underprivileged areas, who can't afford hockey equipment or to play hockey. And they'll suit them up and get them to play, which I think is a great initiative.
Super cool. Super cool. Let's take a time out here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit McDavid and then go through what we think is going to happen on tomorrow's edition, Wednesday's edition of the Locked On NHL Power Rankings. First, though, this podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that is on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. New surprises all month. Limited flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check out the site often. And there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar, because Black Friday will be a huge event with all kinds of surprises. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Jody Biasi, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Connor McDavid tonight, so this is Tuesday night, 8:30 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, is going for an 18-game point streak. Troy Terry just had a 16-game point streak ended, by the way. But I think we know how great McDavid is at this point. I'm starting to think about the potential for his legacy, like, way down the road. And I wonder, like, Mike, well, we'll talk about the point streak here, too. I'm wondering, can he just be this good for so long and be considered, like, this is the guy. This is the best player in hockey, one of the best of all time, without having that winning come in the playoffs? Because it's almost becoming a regularity that he's this good during the regular season.
Yeah, I don't, like, you're suggesting that, like, what are you suggesting? Sorry, kind of explain that question again. Like, kind of
like,
he can still be the GOAT, but never have playoff success?
I guess, yeah. Can he be in that Gretzky, Lemieux, Crosby territory if he doesn't have the postseason success? Like, at what point do we start saying he needs that cup to legitimize his legacy?
A little bit, like, slightly he'll need it, I think. But, you know, hockey's kind of like an ultimate team sport. And if, you know, they don't build a team around him, like, that's not his fault, right? And that's right. Kind of sometimes when you see some guys go around the league and they start chasing a cup, trying to find something later in their career. But, you know, when it comes to McDavid, I hope that they find success and they win a cup in Edmonton. I hope that's the case. I don't necessarily think he'll need it to be solidified as one of the greats, especially since, you know, he's going to own a lot of records when all said and done in the NHL. But I think eventually the success will come. Does that mean he needs to win a Stanley Cup? I don't think so. I think there are plenty of players who, you know, have never won a Stanley Cup but are known as, you know, some of the best to ever play, whether it's hockey, whether it's football, basketball, whatever it is. You know, I don't think a championship is extremely necessary in a team sport. But, you know, at some point, we kind of saw this with Ovechkin. There was some people who weren't all in on calling this guy like one of the best of all time until he won that Stanley Cup. And then it was like, okay, Ovechkin and Crosby are back on an even playing field, where for a while there, Crosby had pulled away from Ovi. And now that you see the goal scoring of him keep up and the fact that he won a Stanley Cup finally, now they're kind of back, you know, somewhat even, I would say. So, and that's purely because Ovi finally won. He finally had that postseason success. So it does matter a little bit, but I don't think it's going to preclude him from being amongst the greatest of all time.
So McDavid with a point would become just the sixth player ever to begin a season with an 18-game point streak. Marcel Dion, Bill Cowley, Danny Heatley, Matt Sundin, Wayne Gretzky did it twice, and he has the record with a 51-game point streak to open the 1983-84 season.
Didn't Patrick Kane have some stupid streak? Like, was it the lockout year when they came back from the lockout?
I feel like, yeah, it wasn't the start of season, but I think you're right.
Maybe like a 32-game point streak or something like that season. Maybe it wasn't the start of the year, but it was 26. Crazy.
It ended at 26. That was the longest since 92-93. That's wild.
Yeah. So,
also, by the way, if McDavid does get an assist, that will be the fourth fastest anyone in NHL history has gotten to 400 assists. And I saw a chart the other day of point trajectory through a career, and it was weighted by the era in which they played in. And McDavid was second all-time to Gretzky. Lemieux was third. I think Crosby was fourth. I think maybe the biggest difference between McDavid and Crosby, because I think they're about the same in how quickly they got to 400 assists, was Crosby's first couple of seasons, scoring was way up compared to where it is right now with all the power plays we saw coming out of the 05-06 lockout or 04-05 lockout. So just all of this, what is this? It's just a point to show how incredible Connor McDavid is as a player and his box office.
Yes. So. I we were just talking about jerseys a minute ago. There's some breaking news as of the recording of this. Canada put out their official Olympic jerseys today. They just They just put them out. I just sent it to you on Twitter. If you want to go take a little peek-see at them.
Oh, okay.
And give me your first impressions on these.
All right. So let's see. Home jersey, we've got all red and black. There's no white on this jersey. The only white on this jersey is the Nike logo on the pants. Gray piping on the Leaf logo for those who haven't seen it yet, but go look it up if you're listening to us right now. The white jerseys are so clean, so sharp. And then the alternate black jerseys are pretty cool too. I guess my biggest curiosity is, why is the Leaf shaped the way it is? Or am I overanalyzing here? It looks like a starfish almost, or a shell.
It looks like Starmie, the Pokemon Starmie. That's what it looks like right now, to be honest.
Who's gonna be the first to tweet that? I'll leave that for you because you're so
it
right.
Looks like Starmie. Yeah, I should. Like I should definitely retweet that and say that. I like the white one the best. I would say then probably the black, and then the red one looks kind of weird. I'm with you. I don't like that there's no white in there at all. That's kind of bizarre to me. It's Canada. We're red and white. That's what it is. Red and white, not red and black. Where's the white here? Come on. Not even piping. No, nothing.
Anything.
No, right. It's weird to me. The white jerseys, though, they look pretty sick. But overall, I don't know if I'm a fan. I think I'm giving them like a 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd give them like a 6. Maybe because the white ones are so clean. They got the white ones right.
Yeah. Okay, 6. I think I'm good. I'm good to call it a 6.
And I like the alternates. I love the red border around the black Leaf on the inside. You know what it reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of Team North America's jerseys from the World Cup. I don't know if that's just the black with the hot color. This here it's red for TNA. It was red, orange. That's making me think that. I don't know what is. So I do like the black alternate. I hate the home jersey, though.
Yeah. It's
like you said, for the reasons we just kind of went through.
Someone said, just for those who are listening, not on the podcast, I guess. I guess it doesn't really matter, but it kind of looks like a hybrid between a maple leaf and a pot leaf. It kind of does. And knowing that, you know, marijuana has been legalized in Canada, maybe that's what they're going for. They're showing it off to the rest of the world.
Are they sponsored by some dispensary that I've never seen? Do they sell that at Canadian Tire?
Yeah, Government Co., Weed & Co., probably.
All right, last thing on today's podcast, Locked On NHL, Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. Our Locked On NHL Power Rankings will come out Wednesday afternoon. One team that you think is going to move up and one team that you think is going to move down. We'll go through a couple each. Who's the team that jumps off the page to you first for that?
To move up, I think it's got to be the Colorado Avalanche. McKinnon went down and they just kicked it into third gear. They are on a 5-game winning streak since he went out. They're currently sitting at 15th in our power rankings. They're good.
While you learn, IBEW Local 41 offers a combination of classroom and on-the-job training that will prepare you for a career that includes full benefits, a pension, and nearly unlimited earning potential.
There's just really random yelling that just went off.
Are we better now?
Yeah, was that on your end?
That was my bad. That was on my end. Okay. I'm at the radio broadcast booth right now, so I think I just hit a wrong button. Back on track. So you said top 10, you think?
Yeah, I think they're definitely gonna rock it up into the top 10. The way that they're playing right now, I think they're certainly deserving of it. And to me, I know that I picked them as my Stanley Cup favorite going into the year, and the fact that they are currently at 15. I mean, there's nowhere for them to go but up at this point. They've won 7 of the last 10 games, winners of 5 straight. They got a plus 12 differential now. And, you know, this is a team that's only played 15 games, too. So they've got a long ways to go in terms of games left. But I think in terms of points percentage, they are second in the division. Yeah, second division behind the Minnesota Wild. But have you seen the outrageous numbers that Nazem Kadri has been putting up recently?
No, I haven't.
This man's got 13 points in the 5 games since McKinnon got injured. 13 points. He's got 23 points on the year. He's on pace for 127 points.
That's incredible. I say he does it.
I say he does it too. Lock it down. Where's that bet? Where can we get that prop at BetOnline?
BetOnline. Set that over under.
Yeah, let's get it. But he's been incredible. He's been honestly playing some good hockey, filling in for McKinnon. But I think for sure the Colorado Avalanche for me are a team that's going to rocket up these rankings.
And then another team I think is probably going to shoot up. The Golden Knights are sitting at 19.
Yeah.
They got Mark Stone back healthy. Alex Petrangelo is playing better than when he started the season. They've won 7 of their last 10. And they're not just getting the results. They were being, even when their record was close to 500 to start the season, they were getting dominated by opposing teams. And Robin Lehner was really the big reason why their record was the way it was. But they are back to, they're outplaying teams, they're generating scoring chances, and they're still not near full health. Pacioretty's not back. Obviously, Eichel is a ways away from returning. They've also got Will Carlson that is still out. Marchessault is out. So they're waiting on guys. But they're at 19.
Jack Eichel.
I said Eichel, didn't I? I said Eichel is out for a while.
Okay, I thought I just heard Marchessault, but yeah.
I thought I said, obviously Eichel is out for a while, but maybe you're right. Okay. Maybe I just skipped over that subconsciously. I might not think they jumped to top 10, though.
Well, so who... 19? I guess let's go through it. Who do you think... Who do you think they don't get past? So the Hurricanes at number one, I think they stay there in the top 10. They're not better than the Hurricanes.
Nope.
The Panthers, no. The Oilers, no. The Maple Leafs, I don't think so.
Nope.
The Capitals?
Nope.
The Lightning?
Nope.
The Rangers?
For me, yes.
I could see them moving past the Rangers as well. So that's one team that they move into that could, you know, they could end up getting in there. The Ducks, I think the Ducks are falling out of it. Yep. I don't see them as a top 10 team. The Flames, we got
Flames in a row.
Flames or the Golden Knights? Maybe the Flames right now?
The Flames, they're on an East Coast road trip, and they've won 3 in a row, so I think the Flames probably stay above
them. Okay, so I would agree with you. I think right now I'd take the Flames over the Golden Knights as well, plus they're leading the division.
Yep.
What about the Jets?
I could see them above the Jets.
Okay, so as of now, you have the Knights in eighth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right now you have them in eighth. What about the Wild?
Wild I would have above them.
Okay, so you have them in ninth place. What about the Blues?
Above the Blues.
What about the Avalanche?
No, the Avalanche.
So they're in 10th.
Okay, so I'm already right there.
Bruins or Flyers?
Bruins, yes. Flyers, no. But I guess that means they're outside my top 10.
So you put them in your 11th then, yes. So they would be outside of your top 10.
Yeah, that's where they'd be for me right now. Okay. That's still a jump of 8 spots.
Right.
If that's what happens.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
In doing that exercise, you mentioned the Ducks falling out of it. They're going to fall really far, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not even sure why they... They were ranked as the eighth best team in the NHL. Like, yeah, they went on a good streak, but you, I don't know what we were thinking that they were a top 10 team. And maybe it's just the way that I rank them. Like, I kind of rank them as an overall for the most part, and then I tinker based on how they're doing right now. So overall, I can't stomach having the Ducks as a top 10 team in the league, despite a really, really solid play. I think they had won like 8 or something like that in a row at one point. But yeah, to me, I think they're still going to take a bit of a tumble. I think that they are one of the teams that are going to kind of regress back down to the means. I mean, you just said Troy Terry had a 16-point game point streak. You've got guys like, you know, Ryan Getzlaf having a resurgence. He's operating at a point per game. I think Adam Henrique is having a great start to his season. So for Berg, you know, so they're getting a lot of production right now. Things are going really, really well. They're getting solid goaltending from John Gibson. But once things kind of start to fizzle out a little bit and the kids start to, you know, kids who haven't played full NHL seasons yet, you know, I think this is a team that could start to fall, and I think they could start to falter pretty quick. So I see them falling out of the top 10 and falling a little bit here in our rankings.
And then one other team let's talk about here. They have lost four in a row, two of which – no, the last one was in overtime, so they got a point. They've lost to the Coyotes, they lost to the Hurricanes, the Capitals, and the Jets, and that is the LA Kings. Last week, they were at 16 in our power rankings. I'm not sure they're going to fall off the cliff here. I don't think they're going too far down, but I could see them past 20.
Really? You think they fall that far?
I would say like 4 or 5 spots is within range for them.
Yeah, you know, around there, around 20. I think I could see that too, but I certainly believe that they're one of the teams who, if I had to place a wager on one of these teams who's going to fall, I think the Kings are going to be one of those teams. Like you said, they had rocketed up to 16th, but that was on the heels of a 6-game winning streak, if I'm not mistaken. They were playing some really good hockey at one point, but since then, like you said, they've lost 4 in a row. So, you know, the LA Kings, and they've got the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow. So, you know, it's a tough game that they're going to have to go up against the Leafs. So it could end up being 5 in a row, although now that I said that, probably jinxed them. But regardless, I think the Kings are definitely a bottom half team. 16 is a little bit too rich, a little bit too high for me. They're still really young. They've got better days ahead of them, but for now, I would say they're probably in the range of like 19 to 25.
All right. Yeah, sure. That is going to do it though for us. So be sure to check out our Locked On NHL power rankings tomorrow, and they'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. If you're looking for those, it'll be at Locked On Network. But I know I'll be retweeting them. I'm sure Mike and a lot of our podcast accounts will be reacting on social media. So if you're looking for it before then, that's where you can do that. I'll be back Friday with Rachel Donner. I was not here last Friday. Mike, thank you for stepping up there. I was really didn't have COVID. I got tested. So luckily I tested negative. But the voice was like completely gone, which for this.
Yeah. Can't work through it as easy as some jobs.
It would have been horrific if I tried to make people listen to that. So yeah. I'll be back unless anything devastating happens on Friday with Rachel. And then me and Mike will be back next Tuesday. Talk more hockey here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Jody Biasi, Mike DiStefano. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms.